In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate St. Matthias Day, and the question that faces us is how best to celebrate it. For church tradition has been as sparring and as very limited in its preservation of historical material concerning the Apostle as has Holy Scripture. The traditions concerning him are rather later and less reliable than those that are preserved for the other apostles. So that we come back to the text from Acts and look at what Luke focuses our attention on. There are two things that stand out about St. Matthias. First, we're told that he was in that company of men who had been with Jesus from his baptism to his ascension. And then secondly, our attention is riveted on his selection over against another man who had that same background by the casting of lots. Now, how can we bring that sort of terse career to bear upon our work at the seminary? Well, seminary students have had no problem doing that, particularly at this time of the year when placement interviews are occurring. I've heard more than one of them suggest that there must be lots somewhere in the synodical offices, although they've not had the faith that those lots work with the same blessing that Luke's lots prescribe. That application obviously misses the mark. And so we come back to the real focus that the text also lays before us, namely that here was a man who had walked with Christ for many days, who had heard Christ, and who had seen his mighty actions. And that's something to meditate on. For we're told in the Gospels that many at critical points left Christ. And now we're given a window on some who stayed and who abided with him even through the difficult days, and even though sometimes Matthias's following too had been a checkered following. For he too must have had that fear that reigned in the disciples' hearts. He must too have forsaken our Lord at the arrest, and his faith was not always the beaming example that any of the other disciples could point to either. Now, how can we imitate properly that sort of apostle? How can his memory and his selection serve us? Well, I'd like to suggest this application. We, as Lutheran pastors, have by God's rich mercy been given the prophetic and apostolic scriptures, and that chief among our callings is to so immerse ourselves in those texts that we, though not present in the historical sojourn of Christ, might nonetheless be in that college of the apostles and listen to their conversation as day after day we walk through these texts. And while we might be and remain as unknown as was Matthias until his selection in Acts, yet we will have the privilege of being with the Savior, the Redeemer, and beholding his actions. Now that sounds terribly simplistic, does it not, to urge seminarians to return to those fountains of Israel that pour forth the pure streams of testimony to God's acts, to his messianic promises, and then to the career of that promised Messiah? Well, it may be simplistic, but I believe it's something that I need and that you need every day of our life. And I'd like to tell you two reasons why I believe we need it. Number one, last summer I met one of our graduates who's studying at Dropsy University in Philadelphia. He wasn't doing the sort of polished job with unpointed Talmudic texts that his teachers wanted from him as he read. So their prescription was for him to live in a yeshiva for 3 months. And he went to a place in the remote corners of Pennsylvania, and there with a group of Jews read Talmud. And I was startled to hear how they did it. Evidently, their day began at 8 a.m., and they read until 11, took a lunch break, reconvened at 1, read until 3, and then at night they read for 2 hours. That Monday through Friday for 3 months was his routine. He shared with me that he had never seen such devotion to sacred texts. These texts were sacred for that Jewish enclave, and so with an unheard of zeal, they pored over the minutiae of pointing, of texts, as the Talmud argued over logistics and casuistry. Now, as he shared that, I thought, how ironical that such devotion to texts should be misplaced. And contrarywise, how unfortunate that sometimes those who have the full texts, the New and Old Testaments, have such a lackluster love for those vocables and for the fine nuances that those texts recommend for our vision and for the building of the kingdom. Indeed, this last Tuesday, as I was at a pastoral convention and was catching a very nice cold, I was walking along the coast of Oregon with a pastor and talking about this very thing, and he confided that for years in his ministry, he had not had much semblance of a relationship to the prophetic and apostolic scriptures. He said, "My Bible study, such as it was purely pragmatic. I'd go there to prepare for an adult class, or I'd go there to get ready for a sermon, but I didn't have much love for that text, nor much real joy. It was another task to be performed." Well, happily, he has worked into a regular and a rhythmic Bible study program in the original, I might add, on behalf of my department. And the reason here, I think, is more fundamental even than saying we should all study our Bibles. For finally, that's another admonition and much a proclamation of the law. Why was Matthias chosen? Well, it was to hold before them the riches of God's mercy, the early church with the other apostles, the riches of God's mercy in the person and life of Christ. It was not to condemn those Jewish readers that they had not been studying their scriptures enough, but it was to point them to the author of those scriptures and to recommend his life, his teaching, his death, his resurrection, his active and passive obedience as that liberating word, that justifying word, that word that pronounces God's absolution on all men. And that's the word that we are assigned to carry to the world. It's a word that is rich, and we should resist memorizing some simplistic repertoire of pious material for our sermonizing and our biblical work. Rather, we should have a humility before that text and also a joy that as we return to it, however weak our flesh, the Lord Christ will come and the proclamation of the apostles and the prophets will lift our vision and will enrich our lives as well as our teaching and preaching. To be with Christ from his baptism to his ascension is also our privilege. For Matthias was placed in that apostolic college, which was then moved by the Spirit of God to display for us and for our time those same events and that same teaching. May we flee to that cross and to the subject of that story and that history. May we rush forward with our sins to these texts. And having experienced God's absolution, may we live in those texts and love them with a profundity and with a thankfulness that will indeed make us students of the Word and happy stewards of God's mystery. It's my conviction that Saint Matthias would be rightly honored by that sort of life. And may God grant it to all of us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.